This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Cleaning, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVNB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVNB podcast. This is our 335th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hi, it's Andy.
Hey, Kurt.
Because we use Google Plus, we're able to stream the live broadcast of these recordings. The summer schedule is a little more unpredictable, but we shoot for Sunday evenings at 8:30 p.m. Central, and you can watch at ivmv.com/live. Let's get a few events out of the way here before we get into Cubs talk. Our bus trip is now less than 2 weeks away. I can't believe how quickly that came up on us.
August. That's right around the corner.
I know. It's like summer's almost over, but I also can't believe that I have not been to a Cubs game yet this year, and you guys haven't either, right?
No. Yeah, but I haven't been to one, but I can believe it.
Well, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I just I don't know. I've always usually hit a couple of games by now, but it's just been such a chaotic summer. I just haven't been able to get up there. But I'm really looking forward to the bus trip. So what we do, we charter a bus and leave from the Quad Cities and head up to see the Cubs play. We're going to see them play the Giants. That's August 8th. I believe that we have two tickets left. I know somebody is interested in them, and I've kind of been holding them for them. But they haven't paid yet, and so feel free to swoop in and take them from them.
swoop down. But it's kind of cool they're playing the Giants because didn't the Giants just take over the second wild card?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Mets are going to hang. So I think if the Cubs can hang, which we're going to spend a lot of time talking about tonight, I think that it will come down to the Cubs and the Mets, or the Cubs and Giants. So yeah, I kind of picked that game because I thought, oh, they're the reigning world champions, so that'll be fun. And I didn't really expect the Cubs to be in the middle of a wild card race with them. So worked out well.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, we have two tickets left, and you can find information at ivmv.com/bus. Then
don't type in ivmv/bust because that's...
You know how many times, I have to type in emails and stuff like that, and it's bus trip, but I always type bust rip.
That's just your autofill. Right. That's what you generally look up.
So then 2 weeks later, so that's August 21st through the 23rd, we are hosting our annual weekend at the lake, and that's out here at my place. So here's kind of how it's going to go down. I believe on Friday evening, we're going to play some wiffle ball at, Michael from Galesburg's wiffle ball field, which, actually I'm heading over there tomorrow to help him put the finishing touches on, painting the foul stripe on the wall on the green monster that he's got out there. But the wiffle ball is looking really good. He texted me a picture of it tonight, and, I'm looking forward to taking a few swings out there. So we're going to do that on Friday. So camping, swimming, fishing, bonfires, really whatever you want to do out here. Where we camp, it's here at our place. So, if it rains and stuff like that, there's always room inside to go. There's showers here. So it's not the full roughing it camping experience. We'll probably record an episode of the podcast at some point during the weekend, I would guess on Sunday, but at some point we will. Also on Saturday, we will head into Galesburg to watch the Cubs game at Duffy's. And if you've listened to our podcast for a while, you'll know that Duffy's is it's a special place. It's special to us, I think. It's special to me. I don't know about you guys, but it's special to me.
It's pretty special.
So it's always a great time, and I'm positive it will be again this year. So we're outside of Galesburg, Illinois. So if you live in the Chicago area and you're interested, the Amtrak line goes right into Galesburg, and we can pick you up there if this interests you. So if you're thinking about coming out for that, shoot me an email, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivmv.com. So as I was kind of starting to put together this show today, I kind of thought, you know, it's nights like this that I'm glad that we don't take phone calls on the podcast.
You think we would get some muscle flexes? Or
I just think it would be a really miserable, it would be a miserable hour and a half, that's for sure.
There's never been a day when I'm not glad we don't take phone calls. I hate radio phone calls. No offense, listeners. But I actually do. Oh, I will say, I think our listeners are a little, you know, above the average than the sort of AM talk radio, sports talk radio listeners. But
yeah,
they drive me crazy.
Yeah, I don't think we have, I don't think we're going to get score callers.
Mm-mm.
We're already kind of miserable enough.
We don't need anybody pushing us further.
Well, I don't think Cubs fans are in a good place right now. It was not a good week.
Not at all.
No. So they split a four-game series in Cincinnati, and then they were swept by the last-place Phillies, a team that was heading into this series had a .351 winning percentage.
Is that the worst in baseball?
I'm not sure if they are now.
I'm not sure either, but they're pretty close to the worst.
Right. I kind of feel like there's a lot packed into this week. I think that the ugly week has kind of overshadowed and kind of killed the positive feelings that we had about the Schwarber game or even the second game of that doubleheader on Wednesday when the Cubs somehow managed to put an inning together against Aroldis Chapman and inexplicably Taylor Teagarden hit a 2-out RBI single off of Aroldis Chapman, which I just can't wrap my head around.
He was throwing like 102. I don't know if that pitch was 102, but he was lighting it up at 102.
Oh, Taylor Teagarden.
I remember thinking when he came up to bat, I'm like, oh, great. Like, this is what we got to throw at.
Taylor, Chapman. Just stick the bat out there.
That's kind of what he did. I mean, yeah. So, but, I mean, that's the obvious move is to walk Soler there. I mean, I'd make that move every time, right?
I'm not sure Chapman, I don't think they need to walk anybody, really. And watching him, I don't think he does intentionally walk many people because in watching that, he is not good at intentionally walking.
That was the first one he's issued this season, I think. I saw somebody tweet. So, it was sketchy. Like the first one he nearly threw away, right? Yeah.
And then the catcher, I can't think of his name right now, but he was like going off to the right and backing up.
Like, well, and then I remember there was that weird balk call on Rizzo, and then they were saying, like, you know, there can be a catcher balk call if he leaves too soon. And they're like, well, after yesterday, I think maybe we might see that if he leaves too soon and he gets away from his position.
Huh. But I think the week had the potential to be really exciting. And I think that both of those wins, the Schwarber game and then that second game of the doubleheader on Wednesday, I think both those wins, they seemed like wins that we would remember at the end of the season. Like, those were memorable games. There was just something special about those two games.
But then they just got buried in a pile of misery.
Right, yes. Right.
And the matchups look good. I mean, you had Lester, Arrieta, and Hamill going in this Philly series.
Yeah.
So it looked like, you know,
I thought the second two games of the Phillies, I mean, honestly, if you would have told me on Friday that the Cubs would get swept in this series, it wouldn't have shocked me because I think their best shot was on Friday and then they're facing Hamels and Nola today, you know, and I thought, oh, you know what? Like, I could just see the Cubs losing those two games, especially with how the offense has looked.
Yeah.
But there's something more like, just depressing about actually seeing that happen, or the way they happened. I don't know.
Well, and it just goes to show that a team can be terrible and then just kind of get on a hot streak. And the Phillies have played well since the All-Star break, and just kind of the Cubs sort of caught them at a tough time.
Yeah. So, yeah. So where,
I wonder if, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I wonder where, how much sort of the Phillies players knowing that this team's about to blow up, you know, they're just going to get dealt everywhere, that how much that has to do with playing. This is sort of the end of their season as a team. So I don't know if that matters or if it changes their mindset, but.
Well, I'm not necessarily.
I think it does. I do.
I'm not necessarily ready to just put it, like, give all the credit to the Phillies.
Yeah, got to give them a lot of credit.
I mean,
well, you do have to give credit to Cole Hamels.
You do. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think the Cubs sucked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sure. It's not like these guys, you know, the Phillies are just playing out of their minds. I have to admit, the no hitter game. I was in the car driving back from Colorado.
Were you tracking
it? I was listening to it, and it seemed like the Cubs were getting good contact. They were just hitting it right at people. Yeah. And I have to admit, like,
freakish catches.
Well, and what was kind of frustrating, so the wind was blowing in that game, right?
Yeah, from right.
I mean, so they had some warning track shots. The wind's blowing in.
Then a lot of them, several warning track shots.
And you need a hit. You just need a hit. Uh-huh. It seems like these guys, I mean, if you can, like, I don't know. I understand this is a stupid thing for me to say, but it's like, just dunk one in there and get that one hit. I don't understand why, like, in the ninth inning, two of the final three outs, or was it now? Let me think. Schwarber and Bryant each hit fly balls, like, to the wall.
Yeah,
the warning track. Well,
the final out was, like the warning
track. I don't know. It just didn't feel like there were. I don't know.
You just didn't want the Twitter handle at Cubs no hit streak to go away.
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't.
Let's just recap, September 9th, 1965.
Yeah.
7,920 games.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then the last guy was Sandy Koufax. So.
Right.
I think that's okay. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't.
We don't want to see the Cubs no hit, but for other people that are like, oh, it's the Cubs, Cubs suck. Well, yeah. 7,920 games between no hitters.
And it's amazing that they didn't. Okay. It's amazing that they didn't get no hit in like the 2013 season.
So if you look at the two guys, Sandy Koufax to Cole Hamels, that's okay. At least it wasn't some number five starter.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wish that streak could have continued. And but I didn't watch a game. I just listened to it.
I actually watched, I would say, 90% of it. So I haven't been able to watch a ton lately. And the two games I saw since we last recorded were the Schwarber game and that game. So I picked good ones to watch front, start to finish.
So where are you guys at with this team right now after this last week? I mean, I think a lot of Cubs fans are just like, I don't know, just like holding on to the ledge. I think they've jumped off the ledge and had second thought. Maybe they're just like holding on by a pinky, because I'm amazed in looking at, I mean, I just kind of like browsed a little bit for internet muscle flexes, and I understand that obviously fans say this kind of stuff all the time, but I saw a lot of people just like, I'm done with this team, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because they won't be when the Cubs win two or three in a row again. But it's just funny to see so much, like, look at how much better this team is than it was last year. Look at the, like, just insane step of progress that they've made. And fans are just, like, besides themselves over.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at? Like, I'm frustrated with it. And I'll say I am not as confident in this team as I was a couple weeks ago.
But it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense, though. It just goes to show how we become accustomed to how quickly we become acclimated to this team playing at a very competitive level this season, that this stretch of games has really gotten us down.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, really, it's a good reality check of, a good reality check to those inflated expectations. Like, well, you know, and because it's a good reminder that, yeah, this team is young. And if, you know, at the beginning of the season, going into it as a rational thinker, we expected the youngsters to go through stretches where they struggle and are just the bats are cold. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't say my tone has changed a ton. Like Corey said, I'm a little frustrated with the short-term performance. But the funny thing is that the difference between a couple weeks ago, or even a week ago, when we were talking about them and their sort of slump, is that they were slumping and still scratching out wins. Well, now they're slumping and just plain sucking. So they're still playing really poorly. They're just not scratching out a win here or there. And so I think performance-wise, they're generally the same as they have been. It's just that, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, my tone hasn't changed a ton. I think you have to expect this. For the people jumping off the ledge, calm down. You know, we say this all the time, but calm down. Like, I don't understand the total reactionary craziness.
Yeah. I think I was just looking at the projected playoff like probabilities on FanGraphs, and it seems like the Cubs were maybe around like 50 or 55%, maybe a couple weeks ago, around the All-Star game. Maybe it was the last time I looked, and right now it is at 42%. So I think with as well as the Giants have been playing, I don't know. I guess my mood has kind of fallen with. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is my hopes for the playoffs have kind of fallen in the last couple of weeks, just like their probability has. And I think that it's just, but I have to remind myself of what my expectations were at the beginning of the season. And I was expecting 83 wins. And I think overall, like that, I think having that expectation and not really buying into all of the hype about this team early in the season has kind of made it easier to stomach the last month, really. And I think that it's the people that were caught up in all of the hype and all of the like media and sports talk radio hype about this team. I think those are the ones that are probably feeling a little bit more panicky right now.
Yeah, definitely.
But
so, I mean, surely that this has to be like one of the low points, one of the valleys of the season.
Yeah.
But this is how baseball seasons go.
Right.
I mean, I think that's what sort of surprised me about baseball fans a lot, is that how easy it is to forget that it's an incredibly long season in any professional sport. It's just insanely long. You know, they're even talking about shortening it, but it's so long. And to flip out over a 3-game sweep, yeah, it's frustrating. I didn't like it either, but you know, don't lose it.
Yeah. I'm not really that frustrated about losing 3 games in a row. It's just that like, I'm ready. I'm so ready for this slump to end. Because yeah, it feels like it's been going on so
bad,
and it's been going on so long. And like you said, Kurt, early on in this slump, they were able to scratch out wins. It's not really happening now, but it's like, okay, like you can handle a slump that's a week, maybe 2 weeks, but this has been going on. I mean, it started like a week or two before the All-Star break, and it's just like, okay, I am ready to see good baseball. I mean, I just, you know, the offense is just really frustrating, and I did not expect the offense to sputter this much considering the names in the lineup. And this really is the time of the season that I expected the Cubs to perform the best. And this is when I expected things to be clicking, and it's kind of the opposite at this point. And so that's the thing that kind of like just is discouraging, I guess, is this is where I thought the Cubs might be able to pull away a little bit, maybe even like, you know, how awesome would it be to get that first wild card spot, you know, and I kind of thought, like, this is when a team is built on offense like this and has really good pitching, but they have the ability to score so many runs, and in like July and August, it's going to be hot. And that's just when you would hope to see that. And we're seeing the opposite right now.
Doesn't it make sense a little bit though, that like the rest of the league would sort of figure out how to get Chris Bryan out and, you know, how to approach Addison Russell? And doesn't it make sense, the timing of these, you know, the offensive struggles a little bit?
Sure, but that's when you hope that guys like Castro step up.
Or Rizzo. Rizzo's right. Been slumping incredibly. Strumpeting. But, yeah, I think Rizzo more so than Castro. I mean, Castro's been terrible all year offensively, but, you know, we talked early about how great Rizzo's been, and, you know, his OBP's been awesome. Well, lately he's just been you know, not even there. And that, you know, that's going to happen, but it's hard when your young guys are slumping, you know, your leaders are slumping.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's kind of, but I also think, you know, this isn't me sort of getting down on them, because I think this team has proven that they can go out the next day and just forget everything that's happened and turn it around.
I think so too.
I'm sort of just waiting for that to happen.
I think so too. But man, in watching them today, it seems like that this team is kind of like in a bad place. They just seemed like their body language wasn't great. And I mean, granted, they were getting blown out, but their body language wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't like awful body language, but you could just tell. You could tell that obviously they were not happy, and it really seemed like they were just like sluggish. Didn't they? They look like a team that was just like in slow-mo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, well, especially watching Soler run all over trying to catch balls today. It was just like, he was like always just like a half a step behind, and I don't know. Okay. So I'm going to try to end this on a positive note. A positive spin.
I can't wait to see you try.
So in looking back on the last week, it really could have been a lot worse. I think the Cubs were pretty lucky to win those two games against the Reds, and they really could have lost all seven games. Yeah. And those two wins, they were magic.
Yeah, the Schwarber game was incredible.
Well, yeah, I mean, who would expect Kyle Schwarber to do what he did in that game, and who would expect Taylor Teagarden to be able to ever hit Aroldis Chapman? I mean, like you and like the three of us would probably have about as good of a chance of hitting Aroldis Chapman as Taylor Teagarden.
I don't know about that, but he did make it to the majors. That's
true. We all kind of leveled out at Double A.
Yeah. I sniffed Triple.
And then he became a coach for the Cubs.
I player coached at Triple A. That's as far as I got.
Oh, so I don't know. The next question I have here that I was going to ask you guys, and I think we've kind of already gone through it, is this series loss against the Phillies, is it as bad as it seems? And actually, we have a Facebook question here. I'll get to the other questions later, but this one kind of fits in with that. It comes from Christopher, and he said, I'd like to know how we're trying to avoid a freaking sweep from the freaking worst team in baseball today. This was obviously before the game. This team is supposed to be different. Cole Hamels aside, there's no reason we shouldn't have taken two of three this weekend. Also, what do you think of yesterday? What do you think yesterday did to Hamels' trade value? And how ridiculous the Phillies are about trades in the first place. Will he be on the Cubs roster in coming days, or do you think someone will bow down and give them way too much for him?
Well, addressing that, I don't think he's a Cub. I don't think they're in the top couple teams. But yeah, I don't think he did. I think he definitely bumped his trade value slightly, but I think GMs are smarter than...
Well, I mean,
paying crazy amounts for, because his two previous starts were terrible, and GMs aren't gonna.
Yeah, what I was actually
one start
when I turned the game off, and I was thinking about what this meant for his trade value. and I was trying to put myself in the position of a GM, and I'm thinking, okay, well, he threw a no hitter. Well, everybody knows that he is a no hitter potential type of pitcher. What I don't like for now until the end of the year is how many pitches did he throw in that game? And I think it ended up being like 125 or 130 or something.
Close to 130.
That would matter to me more than if he didn't allow a hit in a particular game. And neither probably matter that much, but I'm just thinking like,
129.
Yeah, so if I'm interested in him, I don't really care about the no-hitter. I don't necessarily want him throwing 130 pitches.
Well, so he has this one amazing game. He's also, I mean, you got to look at the entire body of work. He struggled in his previous two starts before this game, and it kind of all balances out a little bit. Yeah, he has no-hit potential, probably just... you super pumped up about this one no hitter and not consider everything that he's done this season.
Right. Yeah. I don't think the Cubs are going to get him either. I
kind of hope not. Cause like, you know, we know, I think that the Cubs need to deal with the Phillies for this kind of guy right now. He's gonna go for probably more than Cubs fans would be comfortable with right now.
Yeah. Although I think they do have some. Well, I don't know. Let's save this for the trade deadline talk, I guess.
The Phillies, they're gonna ask for crazy stuff.
Right. Right. Was there anything about this last week that you guys wanted to talk about before we moved on? Can we talk about
maybe just one more like thumbs up to Schwarber? Like that's been like as crappy as this last week's been. Like watching him play has been an absolute highlight of almost the whole year, let alone the last week.
It was great to see him do that in his hometown.
Yeah.
In
front of a lot of family and friends too.
Right. So if we get speaking of which, if you guys have never at the Southern California meetup, I was noticing that they turned the Cubs game on, but they had the sound off and it was closed captioned. And I will say that JD is hilarious when you're watching a game. He is even more hilarious in closed captioning because you don't catch parts of what he's saying. Like I would just look up and it would be the most random thing. Like I almost took a like hurry up and pulled out my phone so I could take a picture, but like it was absolutely hilarious on closed captioning.
I saw him say something to the effect of he becomes a better catcher with every line drive or something like that. So that was kind of amusing.
He said something about cows or something and I just glanced up and it was like some, I don't know, just one of those like JD jokes, you know.
He's hilarious, but it kind of flies under the radar a little bit.
Right, yeah. So if we give a thumbs up to Kyle Schwarber, can we give a big thumbs down to Starlin Castro?
Oh yeah.
This season has been horrifying for him. And so in the last week, this was before today's game. He was 3-for-27. He went 0-for-2 today, so I guess make that 3-for-29. But yeah, before the game, he was batting. His slash line was 111, 143, 148. Mm. So since the All-Star break, he is hitting 114, 139, 143. So on the season, he's batting 235. That's about 45 points below his career average. His OPS this season is 574. His career average is 717. I mean, it has not been a good season for those of us that like Castro and support him, like I think the three of us do. It's really hard to defend his numbers right now, and he has been bad, really bad. And
he's worse than 13. Like he's worse. Like everybody freaked out about 2013. He's way below.
Oh, those numbers. And it's weird because I kind of thought that Castro would step up when faced with competition from, you know, some of the middle infield prospects. What's that?
You just cannot hit the ball not on the ground.
Right.
It's just...
He can't hit the ball not on the ground. I like that.
That's what I said. No, he's... every time he swings, it's just a little deaf to short.
Yeah. At this point, I think if Baez is rehabbing or goes to Iowa and he's hitting the ball well in those places, I'm okay with Castro losing some starts to Russell and Baez. Mm-hmm. He is not a solution at the error that came out wrong. What I'm trying to say is he's not a solution in trying to end this offensive slump that the team is experiencing. He is not the player that's going to pull them out of it. And if putting him on the bench and try, you know, if Baez is playing well and you can work him in and he could maybe provide a spark like Schwarber has provided, they need something, and he's
and Baez has played well in Arizona.
Yeah. I don't any other, it's very disappointing how bad Castro has been. And what's kind of funny is, and this is like a total ridiculous, like stupid fan thing to do, but we've talked about how, you know, one of the reasons that we liked him was how team friendly his contract was and everything. And today I was thinking like, well, at least they're not losing a ton of money on him. At least he has a team friendly contract. And if he's not going to amount to anything now, then, but
he's still an average baseball player.
I think we will still see the Castro that he has been in the past. Like, I think we're still going to see really good Starlin Castro, but I'm not sure that's going to happen this season. I mean, would you guys be opposed to seeing him benched?
No, because we've talked about how the best way for a player to work himself out of a slump is by playing, and that clearly that's not working. So I think he might need just a little bit of time to kind of clear the air, clear his headspace or something.
Yeah, and I guess me saying, like, are you okay with seeing him benched? That kind of comes out wrong. Like, not like in a punitive, mm-hmm. You suck, so you're going to ride the bench now. More of a, let's just get somebody in there that can maybe spark the team a little bit and let, like you said, Andy, let him clear his head and just work in the cages or whatever he needs to do. Right. I don't know.
Fresh tactics.
Doing what you're doing with the closer role. Like, hey, you're not the closer anymore. It doesn't mean we're not going to use you, but, you know, we're going to go with who's working right now.
And I think if you look at this from like a front office standpoint or a management standpoint, I think you have to kind of like, this season that Castro has had does make it easier to potentially slide him off of shortstop. I don't think they're like, oh good, I'm glad this is happening, so next year will be easier
to wear, you know.
Well, yeah. And for all the people that are like, trade him, again, you don't trade low. You're not gonna, I mean, anybody that's paying attention, I don't think you're gonna get near the return on Castro that you would have gotten before and that you'll probably get if you just wait it out. But that said, it would be really nice if he would turn it around here for the last couple months of the season and actually play a big role, maybe in a playoff run or something like that, so that if they do decide to move him in the off season, they can get something for him.
Yeah. I will say, seeing some of the crazy stuff Russell's doing over at second, I would love to see him play shortstop.
He got a little bit of time in today's game.
Yep.
At shortstop, and he made a couple throws over to for a couple good plays.
Yeah. So the trade deadline is coming up July 31st. So that's Friday, I believe. The last few years, the Cubs were involved in a lot of rumors because they were selling. Now they're considered buyers, and the trigger has not been pulled on any trades yet, but there are a lot of rumors. So as of now, Sunday night, Andy, what are the latest rumors or the ones worth mentioning?
Sure. Hoyer's been talking about needing pitching and bench depth. And so that's been the primary focus of most of the rumors that we've seen is what are the Cubs going to do to add effectiveness to their bench and then also add arms, both perhaps to the starting rotation and to the bullpen. So now that Kazmir and Cueto have been moved, I think that trading for pitching will escalate here as the trade deadline also gets closer and closer. Most of the rumors, though, about, you know, say for Cole Hamels, has been on everybody's mind ever since, you know, the no-hitter and even before. It looks like the Rangers and the Dodgers are in the lead to obtain Hamels. At this point, I think that other than that, I mean, there haven't been a lot of rumors involving the Cubs necessarily, but I think at this point it might be good for the Cubs to kind of just go for a middle of the rotation type of arm, you know, somebody that wouldn't have to give up a lot for, you know, maybe a Matt Latos from
Miami. I don't think we want him.
I'm not saying I necessarily want him, but I mean, I'm saying that perhaps is more the type of pitcher that would make sense for them rather than a guy like Hamels, for example, that they're probably going to have to give up a lot for.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think that at this point, they should wait until the off season to add another big name pitcher. I don't think it makes that much sense right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was thinking of an analogy of, you know, Cole Hamels is like a used Mercedes that like, and all you need is a car to get you to work. Like, you don't want to overpay for the used, like 10-year-old Mercedes. It's just right now the Cubs need a sort of reliable everyday back end of the rotation, maybe guy. And why would you pay extra for Cole Hamels when that's not really what you need?
Well, here, I think that they need a guy to bump Hendricks to number five, you know,
but still, yeah. But even, yeah, number four guy back end of the rotation. I think Cole Hamels and the Phillies still think that he's a 1-2 when we know he's probably not.
Right.
You're well, have to pay 1-2 price for him when he's not that, and the Cubs don't need that.
Right. And then you go after, you know, a guy that would be a rental just for this season, would be a free agent that you're not guaranteed to sign. I mean, of course, people have talked about David Price, for example, who's a free agent in 2016. People have connected the Cubs to Mike Leake from the Reds, who's also a free agent in 2016. And I don't know. I mean, say a Mike Leake guy who would be more of a mid rotation type of guy to maybe even back of the rotation type of guy. If the Cubs didn't have to give up like a stupid amount of prospects for him or something, that might make sense. But like David Price, I don't think makes sense either. So I think, you know, yeah, get the guys that make sense. That, I don't know. I'm kind of almost like a 2014 mentality, you know, like a Scott Feldman type of pitcher, you know, yeah, rather than the big names.
Yeah, because to me, if you're going to sell out, it would be to like the Mets to get some of their young starters. Like, you don't sell out for Cole Hamels. You sell out for somebody that's much younger and more promising.
But that being said, I would rather them sell out for Cole Hamels than somebody like Price, where, you know, you do have him under control for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of mentioned bench depth, and if you would have asked me like 2 or 3 weeks ago, what should the Cubs be focusing on at the trade deadline? I would have said pitching. And obviously we've spent a lot of time here now talking about it. I think it's something that even going back to the beginning of the season, it was like, yeah, at the trade deadline, we might see them go for some pitching. But, and I'm not saying that the Cubs necessarily need to go out and get like a big bat, like a left fielder, or, I mean, I like the way that Coughlin's been playing. I think that the Cubs have gotten some good production out of left field this year. But I think that bench depth would be valuable. And we kind of talked about this, that the Cubs are very thin bench wise. And I think that it would be good to have like your Zobrist type, a guy that is, you know, can play a lot of positions, but then also like, I feel like just, you know, when you kind of look at what the Cubs offense has done lately, or what they haven't done lately, and that their quote unquote veteran leaders being Rizzo and Castro, and David Ross, I guess, or Fowler. I mean, some of those guys somewhat, but it's like, it feels like this team really is lacking like a veteran that is the one to pull them out of a slump. And it doesn't, I think right now, just the way this offense has looked, it would be really disappointing if they're able to turn it around and say they get one of the wild card spots. And let's say they've built up a lead so that, you know, they win it by a few games. I would hate to see them play offensively in the playoffs like they are right now. And that's kind of what we saw like in 2007-08 when the Cubs got into the playoffs and then just did nothing. They just couldn't score runs. And that's, I don't know. I would really like to have like some real bench depth. Somebody, yeah, like
basically legit. What you're saying is you don't want Taylor Teagarden coming off the bench to face Aroldis Chapman.
Right, right. Yeah, or yeah. Herrera. And I mean, like, I understand that those guys have the roles that they play, but I would rather have a Zobrist than a Herrera, yeah, or Teagarden.
Thing is, I mean, like, a Zobrist is going to cost the Cubs, as, yeah, you know, the dude is making $7.5 million this season.
Yeah, but I think that they have the money to spend, and they have the prospects to spend, you know?
Yeah.
So I think if the playoffs are a real possibility, I mean, I really don't have, I have faith that this front office, I think they really do believe that the playoffs are a possibility in this late in the season. Obviously they are. But they were saying that and meaning it and making moves like it, you know, and look at when they called up, they've called up these prospects. Like, to us, it seemed like, whoa, that's kind of premature. Maybe they're really serious that they do think they can win, you know, get in the playoffs. And I think we're going to see them continue to make moves, whether it's pulling up from within the system or whether it's at the trade market. I think this team will get better and will have better players. Here in the next week, if it's the trade deadline, you know, through trades, or in the next month, if it's through calling up prospects, because there are still prospects to call up. We've already talked about Baez.
Sure. It's worth noting too, just as a little asterisk, that Olt has been playing well in Iowa. He's reached base safely in 7 straight games via hits, and he's also homered in back-to-back games. So he could be some pop off of the bench perhaps too.
Yeah. So let's get to some listener questions here. I usually ask for these on Sunday mornings on Facebook, usually on Facebook, sometimes on Twitter. So we are, you can find our first Facebook at ivmv.com/Facebook. We are at ivmv on Twitter. And also you can send them in through the app, the ivmv app. It's a free iOS and Android app. You can find it in the app stores. And you can, if you tap on contact the show, you can email us from directly within the app and email in your questions whenever you want. Or there's a voicemail. You can call the show, it says, and you can leave a voicemail there. We enjoy those voicemails. So definitely send those in. If you're watching a game and you have any thoughts on what you're watching, or after a game, if you have thoughts on a particular game or a player's performance in the last, you know, number of days, go ahead and call those in, and we'll definitely play them on here. So this first one here comes from Christopher. He says, would like to point out that I'm super bummed that Johnny Cueto is leaving the division. Note sarcasm. Looking forward to the next few days. Been a while since the Cubs have been buyers despite recent struggles. They have a real chance to make waves the remainder of the season, despite my recent frustration for how they're playing recently. Yeah, kind of. I think that's what we've kind of been saying so far. That, yeah, he summed it up. The next one here comes from Jordan. He says, with the Cubs continuing to carry eight relievers, a bench of Ross, Teagarden, Herrera, and Denorfia might be the worst in baseball, right? Do you think the Cubs make a move for bench help before the trade deadline, or is it more likely they will just wait until Olt/Baez are healthy? Wow, we just already... I didn't even like really look ahead to see what his question was, so I think we just discussed that. So,
pretty much. I mean, how dare you call Dino, who's the sickest player, part of one of the worst benches in baseball?
Well, he's like the only... I mean, I like Ross, you know, and we've talked before. It kind of still amazes me that people don't understand the role of a backup catcher.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but I was one of those people too, and it's just, it is hard to understand a guy who's looks like, you know, on the surface, he catches Lester, you know, and I know he pitched today, but...
and hit a home run.
Yeah.
Andy, there you go. I'm surprised you weren't bragging about that.
But
that was a preseason prediction. You predicted one home run.
Oh, good. Don't hit any more.
Right.
No, no, Andy did.
Hit four. Go ahead and hit four. That's what I predicted.
You predicted four?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, you're bonkers. He's hit
four warning track shots. You can give him that.
He's come really close to homers a lot of times. He's going to hit four.
Yeah, well, the Cubs came really close to a lot of hits on Saturday, too. Yeah. So look where that gets you.
All I was trying to say is it can be hard to understand a really old guy who hits like 140 and has no power and takes
one of the best framers in baseball.
Yeah, I get it.
And can pitch.
Yep.
Good clubhouse presence.
Yep. Yeah. Old. That's what that means. I'm a good clubhouse presence too. I'm about to turn 35.
I'd be a great clubhouse presence. Yeah,
that's kind of sad that's all we would probably have going for
us. I would have been a good clubhouse presence in like the 80s when like beer was provided by the team. Just, hey guys, good game. I'm drinking for four innings.
Thanks for your clubhouse presence.
Tomorrow's another day.
I'm still here. It's presence.
Jordan also says, do you think the Cubs have kicked the tires on a Samardzija trade?
I think the Cubs would make a Samardzija trade if it was way in their favor, which I don't think it is.
There's like a weirdness with, you know, that comes with trading with a team that exists in your own city that I think is hard to overcome.
Well, not to mention that Samardzija, you know, leaving, and then I think they're sort of like, well, that was your choice.
I think it's going to be really, I would be shocked if it happened, just because you're right, Andy, the Cubs and White Sox just don't trade very often. Mm-hmm. And I'm not real sure why that is. And I just don't think it'll happen. And then I think Samardzija's probably burned some bridges with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure he would even want to come back. So I just think that's a relationship that will probably never be, I don't know, patched.
Revisited.
Or, yeah. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to happen. Plus now, somebody else has 29. Who is it? I can't remember. Is that what they gave Medina? I think, I don't remember, but that's the biggest reason I don't think he'll come back.
that's the biggest reason it's not gonna come back. Rafael Soriano has 29.
That's it.
Oh yeah, and he doesn't have enough money to buy it off of him.
Well, I don't know. I've not been impressed with what I've seen from Soriano yet.
No.
Did you expect different?
Well, I expected a little more velocity, maybe. I don't know. So maybe he'll be gone by the time Samardzija. Yeah, maybe he can just give
maybe
it.
Maybe he'll trade Soriano for Samardzija. Trade up.
Okay, Jason from New Mexico says, only knowing he was due to start against us, how much would you be willing to give up for Hamels before his start yesterday? Then if you knew it was worth a win yesterday, how much? And then he said, finally, if you knew he'd pitch a no-hitter, how much would getting him away from Philly be worth?
I want to just say, like, what I said earlier, basically, is that you look at his, like, his entire body of work this season, and you don't let individual games necessarily affect it that much.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Well, I don't know. I think if I knew he was going to... Well, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's hard to... I mean, I kind of enjoy Jason's answer or question. I think that's a good question. It's kind of hard to think about... I mean, you kind of have an idea what a win is worth, but it's hard to think about the remainder of that contract and how things might end up and what all the repercussions of a trade or whatever, and you can't really look at it on like it went on one day, you know. That said, I would much rather see I would have rather seen him pitch a no-hitter for the Cubs than against the Cubs, so that's got to be worth something.
It isn't worth a young prospect.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of young prospect.
I'm not real, you know, I'm not, I like these Cubs prospects, and I've really enjoyed watching them come through this system, but I know that some of them are there, or the Cubs have this many good prospects partially to trade some of them away, and I don't really feel like, of the prospects that are left in the minor leagues, I don't think I would be devastated to see any of them traded. Where I probably would have, and obviously I don't think the Cubs were ever going to do it, but like I would not want to see Schwarber or Bryant traded. With any of them that are left there, I think I would be able to handle a trade involving them.
I think I'd be able to handle the trade, but not for 30-plus-year-old pitchers.
The Cubs are making Gerardo Concepcion available.
Yeah. That'll bring in a lot. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Maybe they could like send them for like one of the city construction workers to come help Wrigley get done a little bit quicker. They could trade them for one city... construction worker.
From Philly?
Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't care where they're from.
Those guys are good. Philly.
I can't... we kind of talked about Gerardo Concepcion before we started recording. I just can't believe... I've seen him pitch before, so I can believe that he's that bad. Well, remember, we saw him pitch in the Quad Cities for the Peoria Chiefs, and I think they scored like 7 runs off of him in the first inning, and it was bad. It was really bad. But okay, next question here comes from JD, who has @JD_Brown9 on Twitter, and he says, hypothetical, Baez plays well in rehab for the next week, 4 to 5 games of which are at AAA. How long until he's the regular starter at second base?
So that assumes that probably Russell gets moved over to shortstop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Castro's the odd man out.
Yeah.
Well, in 4 to 5 weeks, you know, we're in.
No, he says next week.
4 to 5 games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Did I say weeks?
That's the way you read it.
I mean,
now I'm looking at it and
he says Baez plays well in rehab for the next week.
Okay.
4 to 5 games of which are at AAA.
Okay. Even 4 to 5 games, I mean, you're into August, and I don't know, certainly by September Baez is up there. And
well, I think you want him to get, I could see this happening. I'm not saying this would happen, but I could see if he plays really well, and you want him to be able to get at bats, I think you have to take starts away from Castro. I mean, I'm not saying you just like put him on the bench and he's never getting in there, but I think you have to put him on the bench for some games.
Sure.
To let Baez get at bats and Russell, and I don't know. Sucks that we even have to think about benching Starlin Castro, but
it's the answer to the question of all these shortstops.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, before it was, what are we going to do with all these shortstops? Now it's going to be, are we going to trade for a shortstop?
I'm going to play short.
This next one comes from Mitch, and he says, with the play of Kyle Schwarber and the lack of Cubs offense, how long until he will end up staying with the major league team? I think he's up for the year.
Yeah, I think too. So now. Yeah. At first, when you mentioned that, Corey, I thought, no, I don't think so. But now it seems.
He played left field today a little bit too, which we could see more of in the future. Mm-hmm. But they're going to find a way to keep his bat in the lineup.
Yeah, if you could get Montero catching and him in the lineup, I think that'd be ideal. I just don't think right now at this point defensively you want him there every day.
No. No, but you'd probably do one as bad every day.
Mm-hmm.
This next question comes from Bill, and he said, chances on a rental, which we kind of already talked about. And he said, also, what prospects have high value that would be Rule 5 eligible after this year? Have you guys looked to see who is Rule 5 eligible at the end of this year in the Cubs system? I know Dan Vogelbach is. And Jamer Candelario, I think those have to be two that would have the most value. I don't have the list in front of me. I should, but I don't.
I don't either. Sorry.
It's kind of weird to think about Dan Vogelbach being Rule 5 eligible already.
Yeah.
And he's.
And
he's still 2 years away.
Yeah. Do they burn a roster spot for protection for a guy like that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the weird.
That's why I think you could see some of these guys tossed into a
right
to a trade.
Yeah,
I agree. Rule 5 guys are going to be the first to go.
Yeah, I think we could see Dan because if at the same time, like I think some of these players would still be somewhat safe because. You know, if another team takes them in a Rule 5 draft, they have to put them on their 25-man. And I don't think, definitely not a National League team. I suppose maybe in an American League team.
That's still a stretch, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's somebody that, if it's an American League team that's not, that is kind of, weak, I guess, and could maybe waste a spot on a player like him, maybe, but I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him traded in a deal to an American League team sometime soon.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Gerardo Concepcion does not have high value, I wouldn't think. And I think that the Cubs don't really need to worry about losing him in the Rule 5. Billy says, if Baez still qualified as a prospect, where would he rank in your estimation?
Like in all of baseball?
Let's just say within the Cubs system. I'm not sure what he means, but let's say within the Cubs system. I think he'd have to be right there at the top.
Yeah.
Because the ceiling is still there.
Yeah.
And then as far as, I guess in general baseball, I don't know, maybe he would fall into the teens or something, maybe even way worse. I know that.
I think he'd be top 25.
Yeah, but the floor... The ceiling is high, and we've kind of seen the floor. So, yes. I'm not sure.
His stock is definitely down in the last year.
Yeah, I think as fans, we're more likely to look at the ceiling and kind of judge things off of that. But the floor is pretty bad.
Yes.
Don says, "Do you think both Montero and Ross will be on the team next year? What is their contract situation?"
Ross has a 2-year deal that is through 2016. Montero is with the Cubs on a 5-year contract, so he has a pretty, he's going to be with the team for the foreseeable future. But yeah, Ross is signed through next year. Now, I don't know whether he's still there next year or not, but
I think he will be.
I think so too.
Well, I think, like we were talking earlier, I think he's one of the few real veterans. And I think the Cubs need that. If you can have a backup catcher that is one of the best framers in baseball and can provide some leadership in the clubhouse and stuff like that, and can apparently go out and pitch and then hit a home run, I don't I think he'll be on the team.
Oh, and I should say that the Cubs, since the Cubs traded with Arizona for Miggy Mont, he's signed through 2017. So it's technically a 3-year deal with the Cubs.
Yeah. Which, so then kind of to go along, you know, to go along with that, Don asks the next question. Are you comfortable with Schwarber catching nearly every day in 2016?
No,
not yet.
No. I think that is the reason for the Miguel Montero contract length is because of how long they thought it might take for Schwarber to be ready.
Yeah,
right.
And I think Montero for me has been like I didn't know anything about pitch framing or what defensive metrics in catching were. But I just sort of forgot about it, and then you see Montero and even Ross work behind the plate, it really, really quickly illustrates how important it is. And again, like I had,
especially when you see Schwarber Montero
back there, like it's just, they're so good. It's sort of going from that back to a little bit rough. It stands out pretty prominently.
Yeah. I think Montero is going to still be your normal starting catcher in 2016. I think it might be that 2017 season. That might be when we see maybe Schwarber kind of step into the starter role and Montero maybe become the backup catcher.
And that is if he makes it that far. I mean, there's no, who knows if he moves off a catcher
right
before then.
Yeah. But I'm not comfortable. But I hadn't really seen him catch that much. But in watching him here, you know, the times that he has caught in the last week, the ball pops out of his glove a lot.
Yeah. He really like stabs at balls that aren't where he expected them to be. Whereas, I think you see Ross and Montero like able to kind of surround balls that weren't quite in the location they expected a little bit better.
Yeah.
So you seem like do a quick, like kind of stab at balls that are like a little bit away from where the location was that he expected.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what for me and it has been so great to see about Montero is like their sort of lack of movement behind the plate is what makes them so good. Whereas Schwarber's got a lot going on back there and it doesn't make him a bad catcher. He's just not even close to those other guys.
Yeah. Tim, he says, what are your feelings on the current hitting coach? If I remember correctly, he was good with the Astros, but hired before Madden. Do you think there will be a change before the end of the year if hitting doesn't improve? And this is something where I kind of saw some people talk like questioning the hitting coach, you know, John Mailey, maybe a week or 10 days ago. And at the time it seemed kind of ridiculous. And now I'm like, well, they're definitely not hitting the ball and they're definitely not, if the struggles are because of the scouting that other teams have done, and exposing the weaknesses of Cubs batters, I mean, some of that does fall on the hitting coach, I think.
Well, for sure. I mean, like, yeah, if the struggles, if like they continue sort of this trend that they've gotten started recently, yeah, he's probably done. Right. I mean, like his job is to help these young hitters to continue to develop and be able to adjust. Like if they can't adjust.
Right.
I mean, other teams like having a good scouting report on them.
Right. I mean, we saw Dale Swaim probably lose his job because he did not develop young hitters.
And he's currently the hitting coach for one of the better teams in baseball.
Yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know if that's going to happen during... Do you think it would happen during the season? I guess I could kind of see it.
I don't think it'll happen during the season. I think it would happen at the... Well, I guess they don't want it to go too long, I suppose. You're right. I mean, with the young hitters...
But then again,
what would a transition at this point in the season mean for these guys? You know, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they really like him. And,
right, you know, you might mess with
dump him, and
right, you might mess with clubhouse morale and all that kind
unless
of stuff.
Unless it's Manny, who everyone seems to love,
right? But I mean, and the thing is that Maley has a history of, you know, he was with the Astros, and before that he was with the Marlins. He has a history of developing young hitters, and so I would not be. I don't really know how much. Obviously, I don't think any fan knows how much of this stuff you can pin on a hitting coach. And sometimes baseball teams, especially in the past, or I guess traditionally run baseball teams organizations have fired a hitting coach just because something had to be done. And that doesn't really seem like how the Cubs are run right now. I think that if they feel like he's the right guy, even if the team isn't hitting right now, they're not going to just like fire him because somebody's got to take the fall for this, which a lot of teams do. And a lot of just in sports in general, you kind of see that happen. But I think like as with the change in baseball that we've seen in front offices and stuff like that, I think we'll see that happening less.
I think it's obvious. You fire Madden, you hire Sandberg.
Oh, man.
And we're off and running.
I think maybe I have a muscle flex involving something like that, but I'm not even sure. I don't even remember what I took. A couple more here. This one comes from Luis, and he says, what would you put for an over-under on the days that Castro has before he goes on the DL with a mysterious injury and Baez comes up to play second? Yes, Russell shifts over to short. I believe this happens the day after Castro's average dips below Russell's.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
Yeah.
Wait, Castro's average has dipped below Russell's.
Yeah. It's
well below Russell's, isn't it?
What is Russell's right now?
I don't think Russell's is great.
It's not
above 235.
It's definitely above 235, though.
It's 232. Russell is 232.
Well, Casper.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah, so he's got 3 points.
Even after Russell hit a home run today, too, right? Or was that? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, I was distracted by stats. Okay, here's a question, last one from Steven, and he says, this was emailed in, the Cubs seem to have a problem playing to the level of their competition. For example, splitting a 4-game set with the Cards, then promptly dropping 2 of 3 to the White Sox. It's obviously a mental thing when we can sweep teams like the Mets, beat up on the Dodgers elite pitchers, and then have to scrap and struggle to eke out a 1-run win against the Reds. Steven sent this a while back, and I'm sure he would include the Phillies in this. He says, what do you guys think? Is this an example of mental toughness that we're able to hang with the good teams or the yips when we're playing lousy teams? Or is it right. just youth? Huh?
Sorry, go ahead and finish.
Said, is it just youth or is it just baseball?
So this was pretty much my scary stat right here. And so I'll jump in with this, and then you guys can answer the direct questions about why. But to give you the numbers, for teams that are under 500, the Cubs are 25 and 26. And for teams that are over 500, they are 26 and 20. Mm. And that includes 7-0 versus the Mets, you know, 6-4 against the Pirates. They are terrible against Cardinals, but every other good team that they've played, they've either played at 500 or dominated them. So, and then a lot of the teams that are terrible, like the Phillies, they just can't seem to match. The Brewers are another good example. So yeah, I'll let you guys answer.
Well, I think
why you think that happens.
I think it's baseball and it's youth. I think it's a mixture of those two things and somewhere in between. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, now that you mentioned the records, Kurt, it's not that huge of a difference between the two. So I think it's a combination of just youth and baseball, like Corey said, but also, too, I mean, the Cubs, I think, like, veterans know how to manufacture adrenaline when they're playing against, you know, teams that maybe don't, that they might tend to overlook, you know, that aren't playing well that particular season. And so that's something young players have to learn how to do, as well as to kind of play at the same level of effort and energy against everybody. I don't know if I even formed a coherent sentence there, but sure tried.
You gave a lot of effort on that one, Andy.
If they do squeak out a playoff spot in that second wild card, that's good news that they play really well against the good teams.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yep. So I think it is youth and it's baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if it's like, I don't know if it's a lack of mental toughness. Or he said it's that they have mental toughness when they're hanging with good teams, and then the yips when they play a lousy team. I don't necessarily even think that they're overlooking teams. I think right now they're just not really playing anyone.
Really? You don't think there's a difference between them playing the Cardinals?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I don't think
it's... playing the Miami Marlins, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't... But I don't know if, like... I don't think that the Cubs overlooked the Phillies this weekend. I don't think they were, like, you know, looking ahead to the Rockies or the Brewers.
Okay, yeah, I see your point. That's a good point.
All right. So, thanks for your scary stat there, Kurt.
You guys just mentioned the Cardinals, and I have this written down on my notepad. And so I did a quick recalculation. If you take the Cardinals out of the equation, who they're terrible against, they're actually 22-11 against teams over 500.
Oh, wow.
So, because they're 4-9 against Cardinals, and that's the only good team that they have not either matched or beaten soundly.
Figures. I would gladly give up like half of those Mets wins. Yeah. I mean, not that you can give up half of seven, I guess. Or you just sort of
even them out, 7-0 to 4-9.
I'll trade you four Mets wins. For
kids in the middle school playground are trading wins.
So internet muscle flexes. Do you guys have any tonight?
I have one.
No.
Okay, I have three. I don't know. Here's where I'm at with the internet muscle flexes. When things are I shouldn't say as bad as they are right now, because we have seen things a lot worse in recent years. But with where a lot of fans are at mentally right now with this team, I can't really dig too deep for internet muscle flexes, because it's just...
Just go to Instagram.
I know. It's just not a place I want to go, though. Like, I almost thought, like, let's just skip it. This is like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will say it is hard to... Like, the trolls aren't worth reading sometimes, but that's kind of all there is on Instagram is trolls.
Yeah.
So you don't want to give them too much attention.
I'll read two of mine that kind of go hand in hand, and then, Andy, you can do yours. So this one says, the first person says, I agree. Madden should be shown the door. He can take Lester and Ross with him. Yep. Look. They just...
I don't know what's better, the muscle flex or Andy's reaction.
Be shown the door.
Yeah, he sucks.
Hey, you get swept by the Phillies, I don't care. You're done.
You're done.
Take Lester and Ross with you.
Hire Sandberg. They won't lose to the Phillies.
Well, to step it up a notch, the next commenter says, Theo needs to go. I love... I love the rookies, but he made equally as many terrible moves. I believe this team will be good, but we should mix in some quality free agents. Like they
Holy Fire. Crap. Fire Theo. He's terrible.
They certainly can't scout or draft.
Right, right. I
mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
So go ahead, Andy.
Oh, geez. Madden should be shown the door. Here's one that I liked. And this commenter says, Cubs fan, comma, they still choke. Cubs fan, comma, they still choke, period. Thank God for the Blackhawks. 5 smiley face emojis. Cubs fan, they still choke. Huh? Huh?
Okay, so I have one more. This is from Cubs Instagram. And the picture was Chris Bryant autographing stuff for fans. And this commenter says, obviously thinking that Chris Bryant would be reading the comments on from Cubs Instagram, it says, don't swing if it's not a strike. You have 114. I don't know.
Genius.
Yipes.
Okay.
It can be pretty depressing looking through internet muscle flexors.
I think that's the reason I did not want to do it this week.
Yeah. Because
I thought, you know what? I don't want to go there, but I did.
We did. You're welcome. Right.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode. We will be back on track with 2 episodes a week now that I'm back home. And also, I will get back on the wagon with the Daily Northside Recap. If you have not heard that podcast, it's a Monday through Friday daily show that I do, and it recaps all of the Cubs or all of the teams in the Cubs organization from the Cubs down to Low A South Bend. I really slacked on that podcast here in the last few weeks while I was on vacation. But I will start that back up. And if you haven't heard it, you can listen at dailynorthsiderecap.com or you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. It's like 3 to 5 minutes. It just kind of catches you up. So this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors. And I've got the list here in front of me. Sorry. I'm still getting the list in front of me. Oh, heavens. Okay, here we go. So the Hall of Fame level contributors are Dizzle. Oh, gosh. I'm not editing this, too, so I'm just going to... This is what you get. Dizzle, David, Jeremy, Chad, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jeff, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Craig, Rick, Luke, and the associate producers are Matthew Maser, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason from New Mexico, and the Quad Cities own Jason Nunn. And we'd like to thank those of you that have joined the Patreon campaign here lately. Thanks to Douglas Hahn, Jeff, and Chad McKenna. Patreon is like Kickstarter, and it helps us pay the podcasting bills and continue improving the podcast. So if you enjoy this podcast and you would like to help us accomplish those things, you can go to patreon.com/ivenvy. There are several monthly pledging levels. They start at just $1 a month. So for about the price of 1 beer at Wrigley, you can pledge $1 a month for an entire year for ivenvy. And so I guess that's 1 beer at Wrigley or 3 pitchers at Duffy's. So if you enjoy the podcast and you enjoy this Cubs talk and maybe you would buy us a beer, then head over to patreon.com/ivenvy. That's patreon.com/ivenvy. So let's hope that the Cubs can get things back on track here. They are at Wrigley for a 3-game series with the Rockies. That's Monday through Wednesday. Andy and I will be back Wednesday night with the midweek episode to talk about those games and any trades that might happen or anything else that happens with the Cubs. Thank you for listening, and until Wednesday night, go Cubs.
What's up, guys? This is Dave calling from Burlington, Iowa. I just wanted to say love the podcast. You guys are doing an awesome job. I always get a kick out of what you guys have to say. I think we should give some love to Jonathan Herrera. I don't believe he's a man who should start all the time, but you know what? Every time that guy is in the ball game, he's doing something good. He's always helping the team out, and successful teams need role players like that. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Go Cubs.